Thank you very much. I want to thank organizers for this nice conference in honor to Bruce. I am very happy to have the opportunity to be here. And I'd like to express my best wishes to Bruce for his coming birthday. Okay, so then, today I'm talking about some Gauss decompositions for several things. And mainly, I'll show some tiling situations. But before, so what is Gauss decomposition? The name of Gauss decomposition is coming from Gauss elimination to solve linear equations. And so usually, yes, there is some. So we can take some subgroup G plus or G minus or G zero, and in a standard way, G plus is usually corresponding to positive part or upper triangle part or something like that, and G negative is usually corresponding to lower triangle part or some negative part in a standard way, and G zero is just diagonal part or some zero part. And the simplest example is SL2 over a field, and every element in SL2 over a field is expressed in this form with four matrices. This is well known, and this decomposition is precisely corresponding to Gauss elimination to solve linear equations with two variables. And so there are several examples. So as we know, it's so every split same simple algebraic group over a field has such a decomposition in a standard way, just like in SL2 case. So classical groups also, and exceptional groups also. And also we have such decompositions for loop groups, and also Kac-Moody groups have standard Gauss decomposition. And recently we could find a similar situation for some completed EALA group. And I learned EALA from this famous textbook appeared in AMS Memoirs by Bruce Allison and other famous staff. And I want to thank again Bruce to make such a nice book. And so what I want to show a little bit about EALA group. This is just an example. So let's take EALA with nullity 2 and satisfying some very special conditions in this case, and take a completion of L according to one direction of isotropic root eta, and we can make some standard adjoint group for EALA. And then I said in a standard way, but let's say for loop groups and for this EALA group, what is positive and what is negative? So then this idea is just corresponding to the corresponding affine root. For example, if phi is a finite root system with positive root phi plus and phi negative root phi minus, then in the sense of affine roots, then affine positive and affine negative, they are corresponding to this standard situation. So then, in this sense, we can make Gauss decompositions. So, for example, for root groups, G plus is not like upper triangular. In the sense of affine roots, it's positive and it's negative. We should define for G plus and G minus negative respectively. So this is just a remark. Then what is an additive version of Gauss decompositions for Lie algebras? Also, we take a Lie algebra with some standard triangular decompositions, and L plus is usually corresponding to upper triangular part or a positive part, as in group situation, and the L negative and L zero as in the same principle. Then UL is just a universal enveloping algebra of L, and if situation is very good, then we can decompose UL into a product of three things, but omitting UL0, so L plus, L minus, L plus or L minus, L plus minus plus or L minus plus minus, something like that. Also, we can find the simplest example for SL2 over a field of characteristic zero. In this case, if EHF are chosen in a standard way, then we can see this hold, and this is just LU plus, and this is just UL minus, and this is just UL plus. So this is the simplest example. And using these informations, we can obtain also several examples for them. For any split simple Lie algebra over a field of characteristic zero, we can obtain also this kind of additive version of Gauss decomposition. So for all classical Lie algebras and exceptional Lie algebras. Also, loop algebra, every loop algebra has such a decomposition. Also, for Katz-Moody and for Borchardt, we have such a nice decompositions, but here we should say more precisely it's a derived version of Katz-Moody or derived version of Borchardt. And for Borchardt's Lie algebra, we need to know the situation for Heisenberg's Lie algebra sometimes. So then, even for Heisenberg Lie algebra, we have such a additive version of Gauss decomposition. So let's take three-dimensional Heisenberg Lie algebra L and choose a standard base of L, X, Y, and Z. Then here also we obtain that UL is in this form. And this is just simple computations. So Gauss decomposition are appearing in many important cases. And now, today, I'd like to explain some piling groups and Lie algebras. And mainly, I'm talking about one-dimensional piling. So, what is a one-dimensional piling? So then, just take a real line and cut R into many pieces, just using interval. So this is one-dimensional piling, and this is corresponding to just by infinite sequence of letters. So then we identify one with other, and so first I thought that it's far from Lie theory, but I learned many things from Bob Moody, and he explained me we can control both of Lie theory and quasi crystals using symmetry, the idea of symmetry. And pilings and quasicrystals philosophically are in the same category. So then sometimes we say piling, sometimes we say quasicrystals, and so on. So I learned many things from Bob Moody, and but still this part is mysterious to me. And I should say first what is quasicrystals first. So if I'm wrong, please correct my explanation, Professor Okubo, because he's a physicist. So there are two kinds of material, organic and inorganic. And before, people believed just two kinds of structures in inorganic. So one is crystals and another is non-crystals. And crystals are corresponding to a periodic structure, and non-crystals are corresponding to just random structure. So people believe it, that's all. But around 1985, some new structure appeared, and they created some alloy with aluminum and mangan with the diffraction pattern by electron beam or X-ray beam shows some icosahedral symmetry inside of the structure. So this doesn't not fit periodic and random. So it must be some new structure, and they call such a structure quasicrystals. So what is the difference between among them? So then this is periodic, this is random, and roughly saying this is non-periodic, but some we can find some regulation, some, for example, icosahedral symmetry or something like that. It's not random, but it does. So for example, in icosahedral symmetry we can find five-fold symmetry rotation. It does not fit crystal, because you can use a pentagon, then you can make a piling, but it's almost impossible in some sense. And before such observation, already Penrose found some nice piling, and so some mysterious things appear. So continuously, so then quasicrystals are real metals, and what is known, so in three-dimensional structure, as I told just before, there is a icosahedral phase, and also in two-dimensional structure there are four things: pentagonal phase and octagonal phase and decagonal phase and dodecagonal phase. But mathematically or in algebraically, we can consider I2M phase according to the classification of Coxeter group. So then we can make some nice object, mathematical object, just inside of the field of integers in cyclotomic field. I'll show some example. So this is this has some sevenfold symmetry or 14-fold symmetry, but this point is actually in the ring of integers in cyclotomic field. So we can choose these things. So how to define such objects? So roughly saying, let's take M is 7 and take a cyclotomic field, and this is the real part of this cyclotomic field, and using the Galois action we can define such set, and so then we can change R1 and R2. The another example is, for example, like this. Yeah, according to parameters, we can get lots of stuff. So this is, I have just three seats, but as you like, we can make lots of examples. So anyway. One-dimensional first to study. So let's take one-dimensional tiling again. Then what is the first algebraic or re-theoretic approach? Is so we can obtain some bi-algebra with triangular decompositions from tiling. Then two tilings are locally indistinguishable if and only if these bi-algebras are isomorphic in the sense of bi-algebras with triangular decompositions. So what is locally indistinguishable? So let's take two tilings. In this case, just one dimensional, but take two tilings, and locally we cannot distinguish both of them. So take a finite part of tiling, then we can find such tiling, finite part of tiling in both given tiling. So then for any finite part of that, so then we cannot distinguish using finite sub-tiling or finite subsequence. So this is called locally indistinguishability. So this is a very important idea to study tiling theory. So but then we can find, anyway, this is some kind of invariant of for local indistinguishability. So a little bit far from algebra, but we can construct the theory from these things. So, I think so. Yes. Now, we can make some tiling Lie algebra and tiling group. Then we can show that these groups and these Lie algebras have Gauss decomposition and additive Gauss decompositions respectively. So this is the first step of our dream. Then, so how to define this kind of algebraic structures? So then, to define and to obtain such nice decompositions, we need some trick. So then, let's say it's a triple covering of L, triple covering of T, and this helps us to define and to show such nice decompositions. So in the remaining time, I'd like to show. 何時までですかね?
5 minutes,
okay. 6, okay. Okay, let's define. So, W of T is a set of finite subwords of tau, a T, and for a finite subword W, we attach some two positions in this subword. Let's say I and J, so then we can write the first choice and the second choice. So this is called W-pointed word of W. And let's take the set of W-pointed words, which is from all choice of pointed positions and for all finite subwords. And just abstractly add two elements, Z and E, and we take a new set M. So what is the situation? So we want to make a product. We want to make a product. So let's take two elements of in D, and what is the product of X and Y? So let's show the example. So X, let X be A, and two with two pointed positions, and also let Y be A, with pointed positions in this way. And the first, the second choice of the first one, and the first choice of second one, let's consider in this way. And then if everything fits, if everything does not fit, then X times Y must be Z. But here it looks fitting. So then we can obtain a new word. And if such a word is not in W, then again we can define X times Y is Z. But if this new word is in W, then we can define the product of X and Y is this new word with another pointed position. What is another? So then just omit this one, and one is here, two is here. So then the answer is here. So this is the idea of multiplication. And for others, so then the symbol Z must be zero in this rule, and the new symbol E must be identity. So we can, I think it's true, so then we can define the rule of product. Then we call this M is a tiling monoid, and we can take monoid algebra and some without some to avoid some redundancy, just take out Z. Then this is tiling bialgebra. So this is our bialgebra. So then this gives some very nice invariant of for locally indistinguishability. And now we need some special technique to obtain such nice group decomposition. So then let's take a substitution. X is going to x prime, x double prime with new symbols, x prime and x double prime. Then we can obtain associated new tiling. Then in this natural one, yes. Then we can define in this B we can define L and G. And what is L and what is G? This is just defined you in the standard way. So L is just D sub algebra of B generated by E and F. And what is E and what is F? So then E is just a set of doubly pointed subword from this one, and the pointed positions is just I and I plus one, and F is just the opposite. And then we can define L and G. But I should say more precisely. So more exactly, we should use this one, because we don't want to lose the original information. So then we should keep the original information of tiling. So then more precisely, E is the set of doubly pointed subwords from here in W of T star. So this is a correct way to define. But roughly, it's the idea is okay. So then, then we can obtain Gauss decompositions and additive Gauss decompositions. So this is just first step, our first step of dream. So I hope that there must be some the next second step in the future. I hope. So yeah, it's time is up, so then I will finish.
To me that it would be interesting to see if your methods work for organic matter. Have you tried to explore that?
Organic matter?
No, you take a finite time.
Yeah, yeah. So, my student, she's a lady, and she got a job in some institute where she's studying DNA strain. But now I cannot understand what is going on, but very delicate. But yeah, it's a good idea, of course, yes. Yeah.
Any other questions? Then let's thank the speaker. The next talk is 11:20.
For your act, you've got to come.